Hello and welcome back to the Road Trip Playlist Podcast. My name is Thomas Darrow and I am your host. I am glad to be back with you with a new episode. I hope you enjoyed last week's episode with the band Almost Monday. This week I have Joe P on as a guest. Joe was part of the popular band Deal Casino, which he started with his friends in high school and toured around the world with and played all sorts of cool shows and really became and got a pretty good fan base. And around the time of the pandemic, the band was starting to see kind of the start of the dissolution of the band, and the pandemic only accelerated the eventual breakup. And Joe started writing and releasing music solo and sharing as he was writing songs on TikTok. And it got millions of views in a matter of weeks and quickly, and he grew to 300,000 followers in just months. And during that time, he was sharing the writing process of songs, and fans were already waiting and clamoring for this new song before it had even been finished and fully written by Joe. And it was fun to talk to him about that and what TikTok has done and how it's gotten people excited for his music, but also helped launch his solo career and what being a solo artist has meant to him so far. And yeah, it's fun. His favorite place to play is the venue that I grew up going to and have gone to a lot of shows at, with Kilby Court. And it was fun to talk to him about that. We waxed nostalgic in that conversation, as that's where I started to first realize my love for music. And Joe has a crazy love for music to the point where it's funny in the interview where friends will invite him to go out and he doesn't like it because he could be at home writing music instead of being somewhere else. And it's a great interview. I really enjoyed this conversation. Joe has a new single out called All Day I Dream About, which you can listen to with the link in the description. And I encourage you to listen to it wherever you listen to music. And yeah, see him on tour this fall supporting Spacey Jane if he comes to your city. And I hope you enjoy the conversation. I hope you enjoy his music. Stay tuned for more after a quick word from our sponsor. Dude, it's good to be with you. Welcome to the Road Trip Playlist Podcast. I like to start out just simple with asking what's on your road trip playlist. What are you listening to?
Oh, wow. What am I listening to? I've been listening to a lot of like older kind of stuff, just for the recording aspect of it. So like a lot of like Frank Sinatra, Dean Martin kind of stuff.
Interesting.
Yeah, like weird, because it's almost like you only listen to that music, it seems, in like, you know, someone's uncle puts it on and it's like, yeah, this is like the perfect thing, you know, which is cool. But it's like, yeah, I don't know. There's something about it that I was like, let me listen to it like as music that I'm listening to. I've never really done that. So I've been listening to Frank Sinatra in a way that's kind of like, you know, the way I would listen to like, a Radiohead album or something, where I'm like, let me listen to like what's going on, like this part of the song and, you know, the recording. And yeah, I'm really into just like drums, like big old, like big band swinging kind of drum sounds and stuff where, you know, it just sounds like it's really in the room happening and stuff like that. So I've been into that, weirdly enough. A lot of like James Brown. So I don't know. I've just like been going back to a lot of cool stuff from like the 60s and 50s and stuff like that. And Roy Orbison. So yeah, I didn't even notice until right now. But I've just been like deep in this like old school thing right now. Yeah, that's I'm kind of just trying to go back really far and listen to things and all that music. I think it's because, like I was saying, it seems that it's always used in such specific, like, you know, it's in the movie at the part where like something cool happens, or like, you know, like there's always like a use for it that almost like distracts you from the song or from the person, like, or the recording or anything. So I've just been kind of I've been trying to like listen to it in a different way.
No, that's cool. And did you say that it's helping you like kind of inspire as far as recording goes for you?
Definitely. Yeah. Like that's the thing. I'm seeing it kind of happen in real time. Just like anything I'm recording, I'm trying to, you know, like drums especially are really right now, it seems like everyone does the like dead drums or splatty drums or, you know, more hip hop style drums. When it comes to like a rock song, I guess you could say, so, which is cool and they sound good, but I've just been trying to like, you know, like let the drums kind of sound like that old swinging, like big band kind of stuff, because like, it's just not, you don't hear it a lot. So it's really just like, I'm doing it not to like just do something different, but really like, I just want to kind of hear what can be done with that on a rock type song and not like a jazz thing or anything like that. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to like apply that, which, you know, like Tame Impala is like one of the best examples of someone who does that. Like the drums are such a big part of his production, but it's less like, you know, it's more that music itself kind of also is, it's less about the song and more about like the vibe of the whole thing you're experiencing, you know, where what I would try to do is make a song, like a good 3-minute song, you know? So I'm just trying to apply those kinds of types of recording and production styles to like a pop rock song, I guess. So yeah, definitely.
No, that's awesome, man. I wanted to also note like that, like part of my road trip playlist, I live in New York, so I don't, the name of the podcast has changed because I don't take as many road trips, but you've been constantly on these playlists that I've been listening to since I saw you. And I saw you last month in Brooklyn Elsewhere opening for Joywave. And I think one of the biggest compliments I can give an artist is when I see them as an opening act and it makes the headliner less exciting is where you left the stage and I was like, no, like I wasn't done, like come back. And I remember you making a joke that you were like going, this was your last song or something. And I was like, no one wants you to leave. And like, I remember people around me booing cause they didn't want you to leave the stage. And
that's so funny.
And yeah. So how has the live experience been for you as a solo artist?
Great. I mean, I love, to me, that is truly like what it's all about, is like a live show is the most fun part of doing anything related to music, for sure. Because you kind of turn, that is truly when you turn off and you just go and you just play, and I look up and it's been 40 minutes or whatever, but it feels like 5. And you know, like you're truly just like not thinking about anything else. It's very, very cool. Whereas when you make music, you can get in your own head. You think about, oh, are people going to like this? Like, oh, is this too rock and roll? Is this too like soft? Like, you know, you can come up with so many things to like get in your own way. But I just really, I've been loving it. And like the people I threw together to play with me are just kind of like the only friends I have and people I know. So I'm just kind of like, hey, like, you know, and like, so Tony plays bass and he's also the like video guy. He shoots and directs every single video I've ever done in my whole life. So I was just talking to him one day about like, who can I get to play bass? And it was just kind of like, you have a bass, right? Like it's very just like crazy, like, you know, scrounging together whatever, you know, we could find. But then in doing that, like I love it more because it's like the foundation of it is like friends and just kind of like, you know, we have fun, you know, without playing music. So it's been kind of nice and everyone's really good. It turned out that like it was the perfect kind of like group to put together. And it's been cool as a solo artist. It's cool because like I was always in like a band type thing. So it was very like everyone is very like has equal input, you know what I mean? And like everyone would, which I still like love that thing of collaborating, but yeah, it's a little more like everyone's looking at me like, what do you think we should do here? What do you want to do? And I'm like, shit, like I can just kind of say whatever and it's going to happen. Like that's kind of weird. But in that happening, it's like, I think being in a band taught me like, and then going to the solo thing, it taught me how to do that the right way now, where it's like, even if you have all of the like say, I still like to, you know, your best move, I think, is always to like get as much input as you possibly can, because you know, like anything else, it's like if I work on a song down here in my basement for like 10 days, eventually I'm too close to it and I don't even know what it sounds like anymore because I'm way too close to the process. So it's nice to get someone else to come and go, oh, let me hear it, and then, you know, you need to do that. So it's kind of nice now doing that in a way that I don't have to do it. It's not like a band where it's like everyone has to get their say or someone's gonna get upset. It's more just like I know when to stop and go, let me ask someone what they think we should do here. And we should extend this part live. Cause I just love when people, I think people are at their best when they feel, you know, like super comfortable and just super like, you know, doing whatever they naturally want to do. So if I want someone to be able to feel like they can say, hey, I think we should like make this part longer. And like in the live show, like let's extend the bridge, whatever. Like, and I can always say no, but I think that's what's cool is knowing that I can say no or yes is what makes it so like everyone feels open to just kind of like, you know, there's no rules, which I kind of love. But yeah, so it's been great. It was really cool. And funny enough, that show was like the one show on the tour that was like, it felt the like stiffest in the sense of like every, you know what I mean? It's like a classic like Brooklyn kind of show where it's like everyone in the audience is like dressed cooler and is cooler than the person on stage. So, you know, like, and I think we played in like Florida the night, you know, not the night before, but you know, like leading up to that. So you literally go from just like playing for people who are like, hey, this is great, we're just happy you guys are here, to like, let's see what you got, you know, which is cool, especially as an opener. Like, I would rather be an opener in that scenario than a headliner, just because like, it's the same thing for a headliner. You have to kind of like earn, everyone's kind of there, not for themselves, but they're kind of like, this is New York. Like, we have a lot of fun shit we can do. So like, we're here, you better be really good. You know what I mean? Which I love that. I like, I kind of like that challenge, you know? So
That's funny, man. I know you said this is your favorite part. I laughed when I was reading interviews that you've done in the past, that your favorite venue is Kilby Court in Salt Lake City. That's where I'm from. I grew up like, I've gone to hundreds of shows at Kilby Court. I was part of the street team putting up posters like back in the day. And so tell me about Kilby Court. I imagine that's where you went with your old band Deal Casino, or I don't know when you went, but yeah, that place, I have to make mention of it.
It's, dude, it's great. It was just like, I don't know. I think I played there two times and it was just like, maybe even just once. I think I may have only played there one time. But it's just like, I don't know, there was something about it. To only play somewhere once, and I always bring it up or always think about it, means something, because like there's something about Salt Lake City in general. So the first time I ever played in Salt Lake City technically was some other venue where there's like a giant pole on the stage. Do you know that? It's bigger than Kilby Court. It's a little more legit, but it's like the stage is pretty high, and on the stage there's like a post that's going up into like the ceiling. I just, and it's right on like a main street, whatever.
Or Soundwell?
I feel like Soundwell could be it. I'd have to look it up. I don't know. I played there with the Rex like a couple years ago. That was like the first place we played. And even that was like, still, it's the same thing. It's not so much the venues. It is Salt Lake City, because it's just like, it's the opposite of Brooklyn, where everyone's like, this is great that someone's here doing something. Like, we're so happy. We're just here for the music. Like, we're not trying to, we're all equal here. Like, let's just have fun. And it's like, that feeling is like, oh, that's what it's all about. Like, literally every show should aim to be like a Salt Lake City show. And Kilby Court just specifically has this thing that's like, you get there and you walk in, you're like, this is kind of crazy. This is like it's like made out of like tin. There's like, you know what I mean? It's like, what the, this doesn't even make sense from like audio. Like, it doesn't make sense. And then like, it's just fun. I don't remember, like most venues you walk out and you're like, you know, as a band or as an artist, you think like, oh, like how was the sound or anything? I don't even remember thinking about that. Cause when it's done, you're just like, we could have been in a basement or we could have been in Madison Square Garden. It didn't matter because the show was so fun, and people might not even necessarily know you. Like, you could go there as an unknown.
Yeah,
and it feels like the best show, you know. It's crazy. It's amazing.
No, that show, that venue is insane every time, because it's like, a lot of times people, a lot of the audience go there because they're either diehard fans or they're just like, well, let's see what Kilby has, because we know Kilby always brings it. And so I've interviewed other bands where they're like, yeah, we showed up to Kilby Court and we were kind of mad with our booking agent, that it was like, dude, you booked us like a little tiny shed that's like falling apart. It's got a terrible green room. And so it's funny when I saw that on there, because I know like that. And then they're like, and then it was one of our most special nights on tour, like, because there's just a weird atmosphere there. So seeing it on there is funny. I wanted to ask, because that's kind of a crazy moment. But I read that you started Deal Casino when you lied about breaking your leg and took off and quit a job. I wonder what's one of the craziest places that music's kind of taken you, or a crazy story like that. Cause I've done a lot for a fake sick day. I've had fake deaths. I've had fake things, fake broken arm, cause you can't, or broken leg, because that's even more time. Like, that's such a crazy excuse.
Tell me
more from like, and some crazy stuff from pursuing music.
It's just, you know, it's nonstop, because it's like, I always like to compare it to, if you're someone who plays music or just, you know, this is what you do, it's, I compare it to the way you see like a dog when it bites, like, you know, when they do one of those like training things, and the way it bites an arm, and it's like, there is nothing that you could do to get that dog off of that person. It's just like this thing where it's like, that's what that thing is made to do, and it's going to do it. And like, unless it's trained to stop, it's like, it won't stop. That's all it's one purpose. So that's what it kind of feels like. So in that, because it's like that, because it feels that way, you can get into a lot of strange scenarios, because it's like, you're willing to drive down that sketchy road to see if the hotel's down there. You're willing to, you know, get to go to this venue that's like, I don't know, you know, the electricity could like kill us. Like, what's that? You know, like you're just so willing to do so much crazy stuff, I think, because of that thing of like, but we get to play a show. Like, it's crazy. It's crazy. I mean, I think about like basement shows I would play at Rutgers. And it was like, dude, like right now, thinking about that though, like, even after the show was over, thinking about it immediately after, it was like, dude, if the fire broke out, like everyone was stuck. Like there was no way we were getting out of there. And it's just, it's like in any, and it's so funny because I'm so scared of like flying on planes is like biggest fear.
Whoa.
And like, yeah, like number one fear, like insane roller coasters. I hate all of it. It's all just like insane to me. Like totally, like, I don't understand how people do it. But it's just one of those things where with music though, like, and that's the funny thing. The first time I went on a plane, I like had to go to California, or we literally got asked to go on this tour last minute in Europe. And I was like, oh my God. And I saw the internal struggle of like, okay, like we were friends with this band. They came into town for the night or whatever. And they were on their tour and whatever. They're like, come meet us out for a drink. We went out with them. And then it was like 2-3 in the morning, you know, everyone's having a great time. And next thing I know, they're like, we leave tomorrow for our European tour. Like, and we don't have an opener. You guys should just like open. And it was literally like, we're sitting in New Jersey, like Asbury Park, New Jersey. Like, this is insane. And we're like, yeah, that would be really cool. And they're like, just like, you can use our guitars and amps and stuff. Like, just like pack a suitcase and let's go. Like, we all had our passports. And I was like, all right. So I went home at like 3:30 in the morning and like packed a bag and got on a plane at like 8 a.m. and landed in Moscow, Russia for a changeover to go from there to Germany. And then we rented a car and I drove all through Europe. Like, it was just insane. And that was probably the craziest thing I ever did it for. But again, it's like, if someone just said, hey, you want to just like get on a plane and drive around Europe, I'd be like, no, I don't want to do that. I'm terrified of planes. Never mind, like, let's go over the Atlantic Ocean, land in Moscow, Russia. And, you know, like, it was just like absolutely insane. And because music was the thing that was the like driving force of it, I didn't even blink, you know, like I didn't even think twice. And it's just like, that's so scary how like, you know, and I mean, and that's why I think like artists, musicians, whatever, are just like, it's so infamous for having insane relationships with people. Like it's why it's so difficult to like, you know, maintain a normal situation of any sort, because it's like people will go, hey, and that's honestly, I always tell people, like, I, not that I loved the pandemic, but the pandemic was like somewhat a positive time period, because it was like, I wasn't insane anymore for staying in my basement on a weekend on a nice sunny day. and you know, there was no one else was asking me, let's go to the beach. No one was saying, hey, we're going to this wedding. It was none of that. And I was like, I kind of love this, you know. And now that it's starting to pick up again, I'm like really noticing it, where it's like regular people that don't have something like music, whether they're obsessed with it or whatever, you know, they get done on a Friday and they're like, it's the weekend, like this is great, we can like blow off steam. Where I'm like, there is no difference between Monday and Friday to me at all, as far as like where my head is at. If anything, the weekends are worse, because like I said, that's when people are around and they're like, hey, yeah, it's like, dude, like going grocery shopping at 2 p.m. on a Tuesday is one of the greatest things in the world that like I pray everyone gets to find out about, you know, before like you have to retire and you're older. But literally, like just doing that is so, you know, that experience is like, I love that world. So like, you just, that's the thing though. It gets harder to relate to things or relate to people or experiences, because like when you play a show, when you turn down that road to go to play at Kilby Court and it's like, where am I? Whatever. Like that experience is so, there's so much more detail and so much more, like you could smell it and taste it and feel it so much more and more thoroughly than, you know, like, oh, we like went out to a bar this weekend. They're like, oh, we're going to another like party thing. And then you go to those party things and you're like, I mean, like, that's why I never like drank too much or did anything crazy like my whole life, just because like I never got anything out of it that I was like, I need that feeling. I never had that. I'm always like, oh, everyone's drinking. Like, I guess I'll have to drink, whatever. But like, I've never been like, I could go the rest of my life easily if someone said, hey, alcohol's gone forever. And like I'd be like, that's fine. I don't really care, because like, anything is just going to be compared to the music thing, that music feeling of like, yeah, playing a show. And it's just like, once you experience that, everything else just seems like kind of dull, like, because you know that exists. Like, once you know it exists, that feeling, it's like very hard to become that excited about something else, because you're like, but you want to, because there's, you know, a gazillion other people who do, because like the most of the mainstream, like majority of the world is like, hey, this is what fun is. We go out on a Friday night and like get wasted and like dance and whatever, which is still obviously very fun, but like, it is like, you know, it's hard. I'm in, like, I've written the best lyrics I've written when I'm like in those scenarios, like standing in the middle of a bar where everyone is like, oh, we're done with our work week, whatever. And I'm sitting there like, oh, this is like, I just thought of like a song idea. You know what I mean?
Your mind's just,
yeah.
Well, yeah, all you need is your basement, basically, or just a place where you, wherever you go, basically, you're focused on the music. Tell me, it sounds like around the time, it sounds like kind of the writing was on the wall, but music, but the pandemic kind of accelerated kind of the splitting of relationships with your band. You mentioned it's hard to have relationships, period, as a musician, but also just like, you're doing it with a different group. Tell me what that's been like to be able to have, you've had the time in the basement, and then things were kind of, you knew, what was it like when you knew the band was going to end and then kind of deciding to kind of put yourself out there on your own?
It was like, you know, it happened, and it was one of those things where you envisioned something in the future in your life, whatever, being this exact thing. And all those people were in that kind of like winner's circle scenario. And then when that ends, it's just one of those strange things where you're like, your brain can't really process it, because you're like, no, that can't be possible. That's always been like, you know, when you start a band in like eighth grade or whatever, you know, you just like are like, that's what it is, it will be this, you know. So it was such a clear thing that I always saw, that for it to go away was like this obvious like, well, it's not, so what are you gonna do now, you know? And it was like I went from like freaking out, and literally this is in a period of like 24 hours or less, and I was just like, it felt like a limb was cut off, where it was like, that was always there, what the hell am I supposed to do now, I can't imagine anything without it. And then the next day I woke up and I was like, oh, this is way better, and this is what was always there, this is like, you know, this was probably what was supposed to happen in a weird way. But you know, again, when you start something when you're in eighth grade, you can very easily like, I explain it like how it's like, if you like look down, if you're walking in New York City, you could walk so far, because you're not, there's nothing to measure what you're doing, you're just like going and going, and then you can look up and be like, wow, we're all the way over here, how, like, geez, how long have we been walking? So it's kind of like that, where I think that's what happened. It's like the pandemic, again, in a weird way, was like this good thing to happen to the band, and I think a lot of people in this scenario, in that kind of scenario, where it forces you to face yourself, and you know, all those things that were usually there to distract you are now gone. So like I said, like, no one's gonna hit you up to go to the beach anymore, so it's okay to be in your basement, like things like that all got more positive for me. Like all the, like the pandemic happened and like everyone panicked, and I was like, what's everyone freaking out about, as far as like the music thing goes anyway. Obviously like the world ending is kind of important too, but it was like, oh, what's everyone freaking out about? This is like, nothing changed. Like, I'm still going to go to work on songs, and maybe even more now. That's great. You know, all right. So there's no shows, but like, that's kind of nice anyway. Like, we can, you know, again, we can keep working on stuff or whatever. And like, I didn't realize that it's like, okay, so the drummer, it's like, without touring, it's like, well, what do I do? It's like, oh, well, we're going to go record. Okay. Oh, okay. But without recording, what do I do? We're going to do an interview, or we're going to do a music video. Okay, well, what about with no interview, no music video? Like, I watched how when your role, each of those roles that people had were taken away, like the built-in roles, that is, like when those are gone, you better have something that you have built in yourself, because like that's truly all you had to work with during that time. And it was like, so that's why I don't think I felt any of that feeling of like, oh, what the hell is going on? I don't know. Like, what's my identity? Like, what do I do? It was very like, oh, this is almost nicer. It's like quieter. I can kind of focus more, where I think everyone else lost their role. And then that's what made all the true kind of like personalities and all the things rise to the surface, was that it was like, I don't know. I just think, you know, when you're forced to face yourself, you're gonna have to eventually do what you want to do, which is like, all right, guys, I'm going to leave the band. Cause like, you know, maybe that was what you wanted to do a year ago, but it's like a normal, like, yeah, you know, romantic relationship where like people can stay together forever, but maybe it's because they had kids, or maybe it's because they like got married young and like, or whatever. There's so many, or just because that's all they ever knew. Like,
yeah,
there's so many reasons to just keep going and going with things. So this was a forced, like, face yourself and like ask yourself, is it really what you want to do? And I think that's what everyone did. And so when everyone kind of one by one was dropping out and it was just me, I had the same experience where it was like, is this really what you want to do? But it wasn't ever a question of, is this what you want to do? It was more like, can you envision, you never envisioned this any other way. Now what? You know what I mean? So once that was dealt with and I woke up that next day and was kind of like, oh, this is great. I'm exactly the same as I was day one in eighth grade, as far as what I want to do and everything. So like nothing changed for me. So like, it's going to be all right. Like, let's just keep making that, making songs. And like, you know, that's the other, it kind of does force you to like, I just went down in the basement, like made songs. Like, there was nothing else to do in order to like deal with it, or like, how am I gonna, like, you know, what am I just gonna freak out about this and be like, I gotta get the band back or whatever, you know? Like, I couldn't do that. So it just kind of felt like it was a weird bittersweet thing for sure, where it was like complete and utter like defeat, but because of that you get this weird power of like, well, anything I do is going up. So
yeah,
let me just, you know, whatever. And it's like, that's almost a great place to be, you know, that, like, again, with the pandemic, like, it kind of put everyone down to zero, which was, you know, so terrible. But also, like, I think a lot of people were able to go, I don't even really like my job, or I live with them. Now I really have to live with this person. Do I really want to stay with them? Or, you know, all the, you know, and it sounds like all negative things, but it's like, you know, it's only, I think all that stuff is only positive, because like, it's making things like unfold the way they're probably actually supposed to, you know what I mean? But it's just, we never have things like something that hits the brakes like that to force us to stop and actually think about what we're doing, you know?
Well, I love this reaction, because I mean, the pandemic was a very like lonely time for some people. Some people like let it kind of like just kind of sink into like, oh, like I don't have anything to do. And it became very just kind of isolated and alone. Yeah. And you took that time of, you had a band that you've been in since eighth grade kind of go away, which would, I think, make things lonelier, but you kind of took that time and started just then focusing on yourself, which is great. And then, but you were also sharing that kind of intimate time of like where it is on social media. And you had this big, I mean, you were, as it seems to me, as you were writing the songs, before they were, some of them were even finished, they were already getting major traction and people loving them and wanting more and demanding more. I watched some of your pinned TikToks where people were just like, come on, when are we going to get more of this? Like, yeah, like they just couldn't wait. So tell me about the time when also you were in this time of like where it's just you, but then you opened it up to the world through TikTok, which you blew up on TikTok crazy fast. Like, what did you expect during that time? Like, what was it like sharing those that time of your life with people, and also the crazy incredible reception that it got?
Yeah, I mean, it was like one of those things where I would have never done that really with the band, because like, that's not cool, and like, I didn't like the feeling of, you know, like, I'm the singer, I'm going to go do my own like little videos and lead the way here. Like, you know, it's all about me. I hated that. Like in promo pictures, I would always like, let me stand in the back, like, because it was just me. Again, it was like, well, like, I guess I don't have to feel bad about like doing it, because it's okay. It's just me. Like, there is no one to say like, oh, what about us? So it didn't feel like that. So I just went ahead and did it. And again, I was at that low point of like, anything can help, I guess, like, let me try this. And, it was easy to do because it was just, you know, play a song in my kitchen on acoustic guitar. I was doing that anyway. So, you know, I wasn't about to like go in on like making it look good or be funny or anything. I was like, I'm just going to do whatever. And like that working was like, it was one of those things, man, where like you, once you let go and you kind of just go like whatever, like, and then things start going well or whatever you want to call it, or people take notice, it's kind of strange. You're just like, oh, so that's what it is. The key is almost like, if I don't squeeze so hard, it's like I can actually like, it can breathe a little bit, it kind of felt like. And I was like, okay, so that's what I'm going to do, you know. And like, it started, that was a great first thing to happen that set the kind of tone for everything I was going to do after that. I mean, even like choosing the name, like Joe P, was like, that was at the end of trying to choose 1 million other cool names of like project names or band type cool Tame Impala, like a good project name. Everyone I said, like my manager or someone had something to say about it. Like, I don't know, it could be kind of taken as this, or it sounds like a, you know, like a rock thing or like a pop thing. Like, and I just got so frustrated, was just like, you know what, whenever I get in the zone where I'm kind of like what I used to do with the band, where it was like, you know, try really hard and try, it's like, I'm just going to stop and go like, okay, instead of trying to come up with a thing and be clever or be, you know, smart about something, whatever, let me just do the thing that is already there and it makes the most sense and is the truth and is like, it can't be taken as good or bad, or I like it or don't like it. So when I just said like, you know what, go with Joe P, because if someone doesn't like it or does like it, it doesn't matter, because it just is that. It's not like, it's not open. Like if someone says something about it, I can't feel bad. Someone can't make fun of it, because it's like, oh, I didn't even get to pick that name. That's just my name. Like, what do you mean?
Yeah.
So, you know, I kind of like, I feel like that's the way to stay, you know, kind of stoked about everything you do, is just make it so that if you truly, you know, because everyone cares what people think about everything. So I think the best thing you can do is just everything you make, or, you know, whatever, if you're an artist, anything you're creating or making, just do it in a way that you feel like that was the only option. It was the only thing in the tank that you could have put out there. And then no matter what people say, it might, you know, you might want people to like it still, obviously, or whatever, but you won't get that feeling of like, oh, I knew I should have done this, or I should have changed that. I haven't felt that in so long, because it's like, I stopped doing that. We're with the band. It could get a little like, oh, you know, I'm trying to include everyone. So like, I probably should have played the bass on this one part because I had a good bass idea, but like, you know, you're the bass guy, you play it, or the drums or whatever that is. And you know, there's a million versions of that scenario. And it's like, with now that it's just me, it does feel very like, there's nothing else I could have done. It was just me in my basement making the song. So like, when I turn around to look for a producer or whoever, like no one was there. So like, I can't blame them, you know? And I kind of love that feeling of like, you know, no matter what anyone says, I'd still just, you know, and that's why the way I work on things is very like, finish something, you know, throw it in, like put it on Spotify, whatever. And like, I don't even listen to it, or I don't look back. I'm just kind of like, let me move on to the next thing. It's like, there's no information I can get from the response to that or whatever that's going to inform anything I do moving forward. So I need to be someone who makes things, puts them out, and then like you move on, you go. It's like having a conversation. You don't think what you're saying in a conversation. It's not a script. So, you know, and you're not going to go back and really like analyze every moment of a conversation you had. You're just going to look at the big picture of it maybe. So I just kind of, you know, I'm trying to treat everything like that, where it's just like, you know, just get it out. And as long as I feel at the end of it that it's like, that was like all I could do. That is, you know, that's my voice. That's my, you know, that's how I think, whatever, like I couldn't have changed it, you know, then I'm good on no matter what the outcome of it is. And, you know, if it doesn't do well, or if people don't like it or whatever, rather than go crazy, it's just like, I'm already on to the next thing. So I won't care too much about that. I'm already trying to, you know, make a new splash with this other thing over here. So like, I'm good on that. You know, the moment of creating it was the part that I needed out of it. The rest is like, you know, it's kind of out of sight, out of mind. I just think like comment sections and stuff, like there's no benefit to it. That's the other thing with TikTok that I learned. I was like, there's absolutely no benefit to reading comments, positive or negative, I think, because someone saying, this is amazing, you killed it, this is so good, all that does, it might give you some confidence, and that's always a positive thing for sure. But like, still, then now you start relying on that as the source of what, why you do it and how you do it. And, you know, that, you know, it's not good for that. You know, you're better off like always, again, just know that it's, you know, anything you do is based on yourself and what you had in the tank, rather than like, I really like that feeling of people saying they like this, so I'm going to do more acoustic stuff now, or like, you know what I mean? Like, it's, and the worst part is you won't know it. It's not even like you feel that feeling and then go and do something and see yourself doing it. It's like, you just will do that. If someone, you know, if you feel good, it's going to make you, you know, you're going to go back to that feeling and want to get it again. So.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And it shines, it really shines in what you do, that it's been like doing it kind of with a more relaxed way of doing it. I laughed reading about like, oh, like it's all done in my basement. So sometimes you'll hear like a water heater kick on, you'll see things. And like people have really gravitated towards that. And like, when I was looking at Dill Casino, you guys were loved, but you guys also, I was looking at your tour schedule, you guys were like truly like grinding it out, like working, like you were like the typical band that's just working so, so hard and like taking all the tours and doing this. So what's it been like where you're putting out a song where you're worried, can people hear the water heater? You're putting out stuff where it's been crazy. And then like the reception's taken you to, like you premiered on Zane Lowe's show. You signed with Atlantic Records and got a record deal out of doing things like this. What, like, that's crazy. So what's been the difference where it's been focused on you and just what feels good to you personally? And like, how crazy has reaction been compared to like the, we're going to do a bunch of tour dates. We're going to be in that van and go all across the country to venues like Kilby Court or whatever.
Right. I mean, it's just like that whole thing was just the instant, not instant necessarily, but it was just like immediate proof somewhat of like, let go, like just don't try so hard. Don't be so obsessed over, you know, success or whatever that is. And that's when those things start to come to you a little bit, is when you kind of just, when you truly are being, you know, truthful and doing the art for yourself, that's when other people like it and can relate to it. You know, people can't relate to someone who's trying to manipulate them. They can't relate to that. They just feel weird and they don't want that. You know what I mean? And that's a strong word, manipulate, but still, like when people feel like you did something, I mean, people, the best artists are always the ones that we feel like they were like aliens, you know, we feel like they were just here and they had to do this thing and then they left. And it's like, that's the coolest thing, rather than the best artists usually don't cater to anyone, or they, if anything, they go against what people want or whatever, because like, or they scare people, or what they do is like too much or too little. And it's like, that's what I think just works. And I don't think you can curate it. I don't think you can. I'm not saying you wake up every day and you try to do that. I just think like anyone can do that. Anyone can be a great artist or whatever, because, you know, all that means is that you 100% went through a whole day being like, I did what I had to do and wanted to do completely and entirely. And just like very, like in a pure way. And that's when people see it and they admire you for that. They think, that's what everyone wants out of themselves anyway. So that's why we love music and art, is because we can feel that feeling. And that's why when you hear a song that just kind of is about the same old crap and like doesn't feel like it's coming from someone's like heart and soul, it's like, it might be a dance pop song for a little bit, but there's it won't connect that way. You know what I mean? So I think everything should be along those lines. So yeah, I just think I kind of learned that, like, the less I, and obviously I'm still trying really hard, like I'm still waking up every day and working on stuff, and like I'm aware of, like, you know, oh, like, you know, I got signed to Atlantic, so like that's a good thing. I don't want to, like, you know, lose that. So what can I do to keep things like that happening? That's fun, you know, like so of course anyone's human and is going to like be aware of that happening, but it's also like, if you get too aware of it, you can start to like go against why it worked in the first place, and you're doing the opposite, you know what I mean? So, you know, now it's just more about reminding myself of like, is this really what you want? Like, you really like the way this mix sounds, or, you know, or do you really, you know, want to play this show or whatever? Like, you know, everything still, I just check myself constantly in a way of like, you know, remember why the good stuff started happening in the first place, which was like, you weren't trying to get good stuff to happen. You were just like making songs and like totally being you for like, for your own amusement. You know what I mean? And like, yeah, like that dog biting on the thing. Like, it was just like, I wasn't thinking about that. I was just like, I do this, here I go, you know? So, you know, once you're aware that everyone, you know, like, oh, I like, you know, your voice. Oh, the way you're, this song, I really like it. You got to be like, okay, do I like go make another song like that? Cause I like that feeling of people liking things. But that's the thing. I think the key that I've done a pretty good job of is not liking that feeling too much of seeing a comment that says, you know, I've been quick to check myself and be like, of course that feels good, but like realize that that only feels good because like anything like that feels good. If anyone says good job or I like this or whatever, it's going to be a good thing. That's how that feels. Has nothing to do with the creative process though. Like make sure you separate that at all times. And like, you know, that will come based on you not caring about that feeling coming to you, you know? So yeah, it's just all, it's just letting go, I think. Letting go, but working hard, you know, that's really
yeah. Well, and with all the good that's come, I wondered if you've like, have you heard from the guys from the band? Like, what's their reaction been? I imagine that's like a complicated relationship.
Yeah. Yeah. It's strange. I mean, so the drummer, Chris, literally drums on everything still. I talk to him every 10 minutes about, you know, a mix, and like, he's essentially like a producer at this point. So he's all good. And then Joe C is in the band. Like, he still plays with me. So I'm like pulling him out of his desk job life, and like, it's really, really funny. But so he's still, he was here last night recording and stuff. So he's all good. It's really just the one who I was the best friends with, John, it is probably the most estranged right now, but that makes the most sense. Cause it's like the most was invested right there. So it was the most biggest deal when it was over. Like that's, it was just, it's a class. So I'm like, whoever I was best of friends with usually is like, that the relationship gets better or worse, you know, in tandem with that.
Well thank you for talking on that. And then of course, like, after signing with Atlantic, you release Emily Can't Sing, your debut EP with them, which is great. And like, I think the lyrics shine on so many of the songs, but there's also a lot of experimentation in the music. Tell me what that's been like as you put together that EP. There's a lot of experimenting with different sounds and things, and you mentioned still things that you're listening to with the recordings on where you envision this going. But what's been the experimentation of Joe P as a project, and like, where do you anticipate this going after some of the early kind of what people have been saying early reaction?
I mean, it's funny because like the experimenting was really like, it was truly experimenting more in the sense of like, you don't have all of these tools that were normally here, like the people in the band, like you don't have that anymore. So it didn't even feel like experimenting. It was more just like seeing what's actually just here alone, what's like what naturally comes out. So it's kind of funny. And now I actually probably should start experimenting, because now I have to like, okay, I see what's all there. I see what's like the ingredients are that I have to work with. So let me see how I can, you know, mess with them a little bit. But yeah, I don't know. It's been cool. Even just the mindset of it's just me. So I can, you know, there's something about being a solo artist where like with a band, like the Strokes or Radiohead or something, like you're going to have this thing of like, you know, there's a sound that you relate to them and whatever. But I kind of love the thing of like, the sound of a solo artist, again, it puts you closer to that world of like anything they do is their sound, because it's just them. And especially in my case, because it's like a Tame Impala situation where it's just me recording everything.
Yep.
So, you know, it's kind of like, it gives me this freedom to feel like I can just do anything, and it's always going to fall into the funnel of like, oh, I made it, so it sounds like me. So that's been nice for experimenting, because it's like, you know, I wouldn't normally put a piano on a song because like there's no piano player in the band, but now I'm like, anything I record that's more than one thing is technically like not possible. So no one cares about that, I guess. Let me just go crazy, you know? So I just been like, you know, anything that works per song, like the song really does tell you what it wants on it and doesn't want on it. So I'm just kind of reacting to whatever song I write mainly.
Dude, that's awesome. And what's some of the new music? Is there anything you can talk about with new music or anything that's upcoming?
Yeah. What do I have? I mean, it's like, I don't know. I mean, it's like there's some heavier stuff happening. Nothing crazy, but a little more like rockier kind of stuff. It's still, you know, 3.5 minute songs for the most part is always what I'm trying to do. And redoing some old songs like Teal Casino songs that I've had. And yeah, I don't know. There's new stuff every day. And that's the good thing about the TikTok world is that it kind of like forces me to keep trying ideas out. And then people are like, I like that. And I'm like, I guess I should work on that. You know, so I'm always just kind of, yeah. So I don't know. It's we'll see per song what's going to actually sound like. But it's all starting to come together. The few I've been making recently where it's like a sound is coming together and like, you know, it sounds like an album almost or something. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, I don't want to keep you too long. I'm keeping some questions off to the side for the next time we talk. But I end every interview of the podcast with 5 quick questions. And so the first one is just if you had to choose between breakfast food, lunch food, or dinner food, you can only have food from each meal group. So only breakfast, only lunch, or only dinner. Which meal group would you choose?
Probably breakfast. I mean, like breakfast kind of just always works. I mean, I'm in New Jersey and diners are great.
Totally.
And like, you know what I mean? So like you can always make something work like that in a diner, like at any time, it just tastes great. So yeah, I'd probably go breakfast.
Definitely. That's my answer too. And I always say it's the one you gotta go with because there's people
who
do pizza for breakfast, like a cold pizza. I would heat it up a little bit, but people do steak and eggs. So you don't miss out on anything except for salad. No. So unless you're a big salad guy. Number 2 is your go-to karaoke song.
Let's Get It On, Marvin Gaye. I always have to do that. The most ridiculous because it's so ridiculous. Because it's like, I don't want to do a song where I can actually sing and then it's like, oh, this guy can really sing. This is so lame. So I sing a song that's way too amazingly difficult to sing so that I sound bad and it's like the best. I love it.
Well, next time we talk, I need to talk because I read that you used to say you sucked at singing. So I want to hear about that in our next conversation. Yeah. Number 3 is guilty pleasures you have while on tour.
Guilty pleasures on tour. I don't know. I mean, I feel like there's not even any such thing as guilty pleasures anymore. Everything's okay. I mean, I don't know. On tour, it's just driving and listening to podcasts of sorts and what is that? I mean, just eating way too many Pringles, I would say. If that's bad, because Pringles are bad.
There you go. Yeah. What Pringle flavor?
I go original. I'm original on almost every flavor of any flavor.
We're alike in our food choices, it seems.
Okay, good.
Number 4 is if you could have an EP from a band that's not currently together, who would you choose?
Oh, wow, that's amazing. Gotta be the Beatles.
That's a good one. No, that's a good one. That's a common and how can you not choose them? Number 5 is an interesting guest that you recommend I have on the Road Trip Playlist podcast.
Huh. Wow. And it's always musicians?
Typically, but I mean I can switch it up.
Wow. I don't know. I really love I'm trying to think of people on TikTok now that are just funny or something. Shit, this is tough. Musicians on TikTok. What is this one girl's name? She's so good. There's this one like folk singer on TikTok. I want to remember her name right now. She's really good though. I'm gonna find her name and send it to you because I wanted that.
Okay,
but she's very good. Yeah, she's very good. I'll have to remember the name. Yeah,
perfect. Well,
yeah, she's great.
Well, that wraps it up again. I can't wait to see you again in a show. I can't wait to talk to you again. I'm really looking forward to everything that happens in your career because it's.
Thank you.
I'm excited.
I appreciate it, man. Thank you so much. And thanks for doing it. This is awesome.
No, yeah. Thank you so much, Joe. Thank you, Gabby. Appreciate the time. Thank you for making time. That's our episode. Thank you so much for listening to the Road Trip Playlist podcast and the interview that I did with Joe P. I hope you enjoyed it. Check out his music if you haven't already.
I'm very excited this week to have two episodes of the podcast. We're doing our first bonus episode ever. It has something to do with Lollapalooza and the time that I spent there. And I did a special interview that just with our, I have so many interviews in the bucket that I'm just going to release one as a bonus for everyone to listen to early. And that will come out this weekend. It's a fun interview. I'm excited to share it with all of you. I hope that you enjoy it. I hope that you enjoy having two episodes. It will be three episodes in 1 week's time because next week we will have the release of another episode with an interview that I did with Kings Elliott, which was another really fun one. And so there's a lot of good episodes coming. Don't forget to share, subscribe, review, all those things with the podcast and to help continue to find your new favorite music and listen to the stories behind it.